You're listening to Everything Old is New Again. This segment of the show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. They are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, are planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. I'm Douglas Viviani here again with David Cohen. Today we are going to be discussing the 50th anniversary release of the movie Hard Day's Night from the Beatles. That was, of course, their first performance on Ed Sullivan, February 9th, 1964. The Beatles have been around, obviously, as we just said, for 50 years.
Oh, my God.
And even to this day, they had a 50th Grammy celebration a little ways back. They have a Beatles Fest convention every year, which I have attended, by the way.
I'm sure.
I'm a convention guy. And there are tribute bands all over the place. Broadway shows, Rain just came off of a run for about a year of the old Beatlemania show, if you remake of that. There's Love in Las Vegas. So they're still contemporary in that vein, but the music is the same. It hasn't changed for basically 41 years.
Right.
So the question is, why? Why are they still around? What's it all about? And how have they influenced people, and who have they influenced? Let's listen to someone that we all know talk about that.
The Beatles really synthesized what I wanted to do. That would be the single biggest moment that I can remember being galvanized into wanting to be a musician for life, was seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Now, that was Billy Joel discussing how the Beatles influenced him. I think you can hear that same sentence said by I could probably name 30 people even just standing here right now that have said that. And I think we're talking about millions and millions and millions of people that they affected with that performance and, of course, their career.
Which was, by the way, before our time, just to be clear.
Absolutely. We got on the tail end of that, our consciousness. I figure I was conscious of the world at that I can remember now at like 9, 10, 11 years old. No, I remember them kind of breaking up.
Right, but that was long after their Ed Sullivan. Just to clear the air on that.
Yes. Yeah, but why, Dave? What do you think that they're so significant?
Well, I know this has been talked about ad nauseum, so I'll push it over the edge and make it really nauseous. To me, they were just a unique mix of several musical influences. Rock and roll foremost, of course. Rockabilly, ragtime, Motown, country, Everly Brothers. It was like a melting pot of musical styles, which at the time allowed them, plus their talent, of course, to appeal to just a massive age range of people, from little kids to grandparents.
Also, though, I agree with that. Also, I think that I think Dave and I agree on a lot of things in this particular show. But I think if you listen to even, let's say your cousins, their grandparents, whoever that was old in that era, they'll talk about the garage band they started, or they were a fan of a garage band, or they started the singer songwriter. I shouldn't say started; they revitalized the singer songwriter and the idea that you could sing, perform your own music successfully.
Right. And that was a huge influence.
Right.
Go ahead, yeah.
Let's just move along, because then we've got...
Let's talk movie. About the movie.
There we go.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log.
That's not your grandfather.
It is,
But I've seen your grandfather. He lives in your house.
Oh, that's my other grandfather, but he's my grandfather as well.
How do you reckon that one had?
Well, everyone's entitled to two, aren't they? And it's my other one.
And he's very clean.
Hey, who's the little old man?
It's Paul's grandfather.
Oh, I, but
Sarah Thornton.
No, that's his other one.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Clean, though, isn't he?
Arbitrary.
There you go, hiding behind a smokescreen of bourgeois clichés. I don't go messing about with your earphones, do I?
Spoil sport.
Well?
He's very fussy about his drums, you know.
What would you call that hairstyle you're wearing, Arthur?
Often see your father.
No, actually, we're just good friends.
Hey, kids, I got an idea. Well, why don't we do the show right here? Yeah!
That's not your grandfather.
It's a few clips from from the movie that brought us a little closer to the day in the life of the Beatles called Hard Day's Night. It's re-released now and in theaters.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Why? Why do you want to see this again?
Because, you know, Roger Ebert actually had a quote about this movie that kind of stuck with me over the years. And he said about the movie, it's a great life-affirming film. And it really is, from the first chord and when they're running down the street towards the camera, away from the screaming girls, and George falls down, which, by the way, was accidental, and they kept it in the film. You got caught up in the excitement of what it was, and, you know, their excitement being in the spotlight and their struggles being in the spotlight, which I think came through also.
And it's also a real time capsule. I know it's a film that was filmed, and there were things that were certainly planned to do, and there were scripts. There was a script written, but it was a mirror as of what they were going through and did go through while they toured, and that had to be, at least I think it was 3 years that they went through that Beatlemania where they were being chased in the streets and so forth, and of course thereafter. But the point being that was also not only a time travel, if you will, going through on that level and saying to yourself, "Wow, they're actually." If you do live during that age, there really was a band that was on. From your grandmother to the littlest child, it was on everyone's mind and discussed. People were discussing this, liking it or not. There's no one today that is so prevalent and so significant. Now, the movie itself was compared to, or the presence of the Beatles was compared to the Marx Brothers, and to me that would be a huge. Huge compliment.
It was. I mean, the director, Richard Lester, I think, had done comedies before, so he was familiar with it. And the Beatles were funny. They were just funny. You know, they were fed, actually, they were given just one-liners originally, if you look at the original script. But what happened was, when they found out, hey, these guys can also act, and they're pretty funny, they rewrote the script. And they gave them lines and they let them act. And I think that was the brilliance of what the writer saw. I wish I remembered his name. Alan Owen, the screenwriter, and the director as well, but also the Beatles. The other great thing about the movie too, and I think everyone should watch it because, first of all, definitely a precursor to today's music video. MTV attributed its whole being to Hard Day's Night, the movie. It was that innovative way back then. And it captured a time also in the 60s before things got ugly. It was, you know, the end of the innocence, as they say, and people were happy. And I think that's why, you know, Roger Ebert refers to it as a life-affirming event. It was a point in time that, whether we lived in that time or not, was a happy time, and I think the movie conveys that.
True, and they were a band where you knew all four characters. They became characters. People knew them even by their voices. If they heard it on the radio in interviews, they knew who that was speaking. I mean, there's no bands like that today. When they were at the little end of that little clip that we heard before in the interviews, some of that was taken directly from quotes that they presented at press conferences about their hair, what do you call your hair, and so forth. Those were exact quotes right from them that they used in the movie because they were so, I don't say brilliant, but they were so quirky, they were so interesting as people.
That's right, and because when they did the press conference, the press, I don't know if a lot of people know this, they were looking to rip them apart when they came to America. And instantly, by the way they responded to the questions, they won everybody over. And you're right, that was captured in the movie. By the way, I just want to let you know a few, can I talk about a few interesting facts?
Absolutely.
Without people going, oh God.
You've got a minute, so go ahead.
Okay, here we go. George Harrison met his future wife Did you know that?
Yes,
Patty,
I did.
Patty Boyd.
Future ex-wife.
Future ex-wife, exactly.
Was that Eric Clapton's future wife as well?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so there's a little
discussion
there.
That's a whole other show I think we're going to do. Ringo apparently got some acclaim for his acting prowess when he kind of wanders off by himself in the movie. What actually happened there, Ringo said he had a massive hangover, and that's what I guess led to the good acting.
Of his sullen nature.
Of his, right. Right, that was a part of his sullen nature, his drunkenness. In France, did you know that A Hard Day's Night, the title was Four Boys in the Wind?
No, and I don't know if that would that be rated X. I don't know what we
I have no
did they
idea.
Sell any tickets for that one?
No idea what that meant. Germany was called Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah,
it kind of went right to the point there. Italy, because they didn't know what to call this thing.
We'll pick up some more of these right after the commercials, Dave. I will let you say that right after this. Okay. Everything old is new again. Come on back.
This is Paul McCartney, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
This segment of the show is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're trying to seek to change your career, apply for a promotion, or trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that is seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your resume to ResumeDoctorInc.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. ResumeDoctorInc.com has over 15 years of experience in this field. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Email them at ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
I fell in love with music through the Beatles. That was the first band that I was exposed to, the first band I fell in love with. I still think there has never been a band as good as them.
That's Adam Levine from Maroon 5, just another in a long series of individuals, even contemporary musicians that still harken back to the days of the Beatles. We left off with Dave, and I cut him off a little bit, about some little tidbits of the Hard Day's Night movie, which is being released or re-released July 4th.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a soundtrack. That's all United Artists, the movie studio. They just wanted to get the soundtrack out there before Capitol Records in the U.S., had a chance to come out with the album. So they didn't care what the movie was. The movie was secondary. They just wanted to get the soundtrack out there. And lo and behold, I mean, you know, it turned out to be the great artwork that it is, really. And one of the other things about this show, do you remember the Monkees?
Of course.
Well, this Hard Day's Night inspired the Monkees. They saw the individual personalities of the four Beatles, and they said, as Seinfeld said, there's a show.
Yeah, it's a cheap ripoff, but on the other hand, it's funny. In my life, I was exposed to the Monkees first, because I was a little bit later in that.
You know?
And then I heard the Beatles, like, whoa.
They're much better than the Monkees,
exactly.
Aren't they? That's funny. And also, there was a United Artists executive that asked the director, Richard Lester, to dub the voices of the band to give them, like, mid-Atlantic accents. Believe that? And McCartney apparently was really ticked off by that. He said something to the effect that, you know, we can understand a cowboy talking Texan. They can understand, you know, us talking Liverpool.
Right. So, and I think he was right on that.
I think so.
As you can tell, Dave is the resident Beatles historian, if you will, with the show. I'm certainly a huge fan, but I think that Dave goes beyond the pale here, and I'm going to try to test him out. I've got a quiz here of a number of songs that I'm going to play a clip, real brief clips, and let's see if Dave can name what the song is, and we'll talk about it. So we'll start with number one.
Oh, come on.
I figured I'd start with an early one.
Come
on.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
And who played the guitar on that one?
Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Eric Clapton. Do you know why?
No. Tell me why.
The Paul and John weren't crazy about the song. And to get them to record it and do it right without doing it kind of half-assed. Can I say that? George invited Eric Clapton. And as soon as Eric Clapton walked into the studio, suddenly it caught their attention. They were very serious about it. They did a lot of takes and tracks. And so that was the main reason he was brought in.
Right. And Clapton was certainly respected for his talent and skill with the Yardbirds previously, right?
Absolutely.
And so they knew that. Let's try another.
A Day in the Life.
And
yes.
Yes. So you got that right as well. That's a song that has an eerie beginning, and then a clock rings and brings it into another song. I think they discussed this previously, that they both had half of a song that they couldn't finish.
That's right.
Put them together into that. That was a huge, huge success.
I thought you were really going to test me here. I really did.
It's an airplane. That's all.
Back
it is.
In the USSR. Back.
Who played on that?
It was mostly Paul. Ringo had just quit the band, believe it or not. And so Paul had to play the drums. And that was a very tense time with the group. It was right before the breakup, the ultimate breakup. But Ringo got ticked off and he left because Paul was trying to show him how to play the drums. That was, I think, the interesting story about that.
Yes.
There are places I remember.
That's not the name. I'm sure you know it. All right, so we'll skip over that one because that was too easy. But to me, that song is played all over the place on every wedding video that there is at this point.
For the record, it's In My Life is the name. I didn't actually – I started singing it. I didn't give you the title. There it is.
Because he was offended that I'm not challenging him.
Woke up, got out of bed.
What is that?
It's the same song.
It's a trick question. Second part. It was a trick question.
A Day in the Life.
Right. So we're at that. Let's see what you can do with this.
Help.
Okay. Now, was that the Beatles playing?
No.
Right. And that actually was taken later on to be a piece of 007, was it not?
That's right.
Right, and why was that? I mean, that was a bizarre thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I actually don't know the answer to that.
The in-studio kind of a thing, in-house. But let's try something else, an unusual song.
Number 9.
Revolution Number 9.
Now, was that really a song?
Well, it's the longest quote-unquote song, I believe.
On the White Album. All together, but it's on the White Album.
Right.
To me, that song is just, he kind of does what we did. That was John Lennon, and what he did was took clips of the world and just put them together.
He threw them up in the air, and they landed on the floor, and he just took some tape and started piecing together the loops.
And of course, they'd use tape back then. There's no MP3s and
exactly, all that. Exactly.
So it was a lot of work.
That's right.
And it was very, very unique and unusual, but not a song that anybody played on the radio.
But only they could have gotten away with that
right.
at the time.
Right.
I'm very bored, or cranberry sauce, one of those things he says at the end.
Is that Strawberry Fields?
Yeah.
Yes. I also interpret that, and it's been interpreted many times as I'm very Paul. Right?
Well, that's what, you know, you were led to believe, because Paul had, quote-unquote, died.
Right. So, people might not know that. There was a time when there was an urban legend that Paul had passed away, and symbols of that were on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album. You could see in the flowers the car going off of a cliff, which is allegedly what happened. And then they took that and apparently had some fun with it, even with that particular incarnation. I leave that as whole and not just one note for a reason. Why is that?
Well, because you're talking about Ringo's drum solo.
Yes.
He never – one of the reasons they liked Ringo and they hired him into the band, they asked him, do you like to do drum solos? And he said no, and that won them over.
Right.
They all hated drum solos.
And where was that from, that particular drum solo?
It was from Carry That Weight –
the compilation at the end of Side 2 of
Abbey Road.
Right. And I think it's called The End, but we go back and forth. No one actually can distinguish one song from the next, per se. So that was Ringo.
Helter Skelter.
Any significance to that song culturally? I can't say that word.
Well, that's what allegedly led Charles Manson to the series of murders he committed. He thought that was some reference to, you know, a call for revolution, and that inspired him to go on the spree.
Right, and obviously the Beatles had nothing to do with that, but you know, that was just the significance that they had in the culture of the day.
Wow, that was good. Three times in a row.
I clipped it once, but okay. Here we go.
Come together.
All right. And, I mean, just the musicianship of that, the beginning, what would you call that? Click or whatever, the intro to that song is so, unique that we've heard that.
Oh, you gave me one note this time, right? Day Tripper.
And another one of those, just like you
it
hear
was a
that.
Right, the guitar lick George came up with, and they liked it. They built a song around it. Yeah. Lady Madonna. A major hit for them.
And finally.
Let It Be.
And who was that song about? Do you have any idea?
Let It Be?
Yeah, was that Paul's mom was Mary, right?
Mother Mary.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
So, I mean, we can go on with this trivia, but I think it's amazing that Dave can go through those 14 songs just like that and know where they are and what the background is behind the songs.
Amazing and sad.
And there's a lot of time spent there. Let's leave you for this week. We're going to continue our discussion next week of the Beatles and their influence on today's culture. Alicia Keys and John Legend's interpretation of Let It Be at the recent Grammy Awards.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me. Speaking words of wisdom.
This is Everything Old Is New Again. Join us Saturday night at 12.
You're listening to Everything Old Is New Again. This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you are involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Welcome to Everything. Welcome to Everything Old Is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani, and I'm here again with David Cohen. We are taking another stroll down memory lane in terms of the Beatles, continuing our discussion from last week, and becoming a little more contemporary today, where we're going to be discussing the state of music today. That last clip was from the second side of Abbey Road, and the song, I believe, is The End. The little gap there, which is an unusual way to begin the show and a little bit awkward, was if you
more
will,
than a little bit,
to be honest, was the Beatles. I mean, the urban legend is that they did not finish that song. They left, I believe, it's 13-second gap. I cut that even more for the show, so we wouldn't lose all of you in that silence. But long story short, that was to be a portion of that song to be recreated by the next band that would be the Beatles. And would they take off from there? And no one has taken off from there.
Really. I did last night. Can I play it for you?
Yes, yeah. Please do. Is it 13 seconds long? Long story short, I think that we should at some time move on from the Beatles. But to where? I don't know of any bands that you could say today that are carrying the mantle, and quite frankly, I don't know that the concept of a band even exists. I think today we're hearing our music from television most of the time.
This is their moment. This is your show. And this is American Idol. Let's go.
I mean, is that where we're supposed to be getting our music from? Is that the modern-day Ed Sullivan?
God, I hope not. I really hope not.
I mean, that's an issue we'll talk in a couple of minutes, but I did want to talk about the Beatles, and if they grew up today, would they have been the same sensation that they were back in the 60s?
That's a great question. You know, one of the big advantages that the Beatles had, Doug, years and years ago, was that there were, what, 4 TV channels? No internet, maybe one radio station that played that kind of music. So you had 73 million people, right, basically funneling into one media outlet, the Ed Sullivan Show, right? They couldn't see them or hear them anywhere else. And just to put that in perspective, American Idol, the clip you just played, at their peak, the largest audience they ever got was about 38 million. Okay, a little more than half.
And that's considered a huge success,
huge
by
number.
The way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. So 73 million, it's just unheard of.
Double that number.
Exactly.
In perspective.
So I think that's one of the reasons that show or that, you know, the Beatles sort of had a leg up on music today, which we're going to talk about. The other thing I just want to mention quickly is that, you know, back then you had crooners, you had, you know, rock and roll, and you had some pop tunes. Today, it's music is splintered, right? You've got hip-hop, you've got R&B, you've got 50 different subcategories of rock and roll. So, you know, to really, if the Beatles were going to make it big today, as influenced as they were by different musical genres, they would have to incorporate much more to appeal to a mass audience today.
It is something that they did. They took from quite a number of genres that existed in their day. Of course, there was no rap and no hip-hop, for example. But they took what there was and synthesized that with their incredible talent and produced a unique sound that, by the way, changed and evolved with every single album. If you listen to one album to another, and to the uninitiated, they may not think it's the same band even in some of these,
no, exactly,
some of these albums.
It's very different.
So so that being the case, I think they would have been able to do that. I really do. Or they would have, you know, not done anything with some of the genres, but at least synthesized some of the new ones, if you will, and incorporated them into their sound.
It would have been really difficult because you have to go through, and I just want to talk about Brian Epstein, mm-hmm. who also had a big impact, the Beatles manager. He was a marketing genius. When they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, Ed Sullivan offered him a large chunk of change to appear one time, and Brian Epstein said, how about we do it for next to nothing, and you put us on 3 times? Mm. He wanted to maximize the exposure they had in America, and it worked beautifully. So who knows today how Brian Epstein would have marketed the Beatles in today's world. Probably would have got him on every late-night show, right? Fallon and Conan and everybody on YouTube. He would have got him on, you know, iTunes Music. Probably marketing schemes that you and I just can't fathom. So
right. So then we go back to the original question. It may have been more work, but I think that their talent would have outed, if you will. I think they would have become a sensation. Would they have made the movies? Would they have had the cultural influence? I think it's impossible for us to know, but I can just go by what we are thinking about in our today's world, and there's some of the same issues with war and with love and hate and prejudice, and they touched upon the same issues, and quite frankly, 50 years later, there are still shows about them, this one included, not to mention, I mean, Love in Las Vegas is a tremendous hit. It's playing the same music from 50 years ago.
Right. And so, but also another challenge they'd have today, and tell me if you agree with this or not, and I think this might be your big argument about music today, is, you know, there's so many outlets for people to listen to music, kids especially, teenagers, but even people our age, right? We're distracted. We have cell phone, iTunes and cell phones and texting, and you can't listen to an album anymore. Can you imagine a teenager sitting down and listening to, you know, Pink Floyd?
That's a shame. I mean, it's true. The Sgt. Pepper, let's say, what was it? Well, anyway, so the album that had a significant impact upon the people of the day by listening to it as an album doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And that, you know, today's world, they're listening to a song, and people are saying, that's a song that I like, and they're going to download that song, but they're not looking to that artist and say, what else does that person even have? And in fact, or if they do that, is there such a thing as a superstar band today? I can't even name one that exists from, let's say, 2000 forward, that is a universal band that you walk in, down the street and people will know even who they are.
I mean, maybe Coldplay.
Right.
Beyond that, I don't know.
But even in that situation, what do you know from Coldplay? You know, maybe the song. Do you know the person named
He was
the
married
albums?
To Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, you've got the one
Apple.
Person that's leading the band that everyone knows, but none of the band members you know. What's the drummer's
right.
name? Is it Ringo III? You know?
No, but the daughter's name is Apple. That's Beatles.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right.
Got
there
it back
go.
To the Beatles somehow.
But that's because we've moved away, I think, from the artistry of the band. We've moved away from the artistry of... Maybe it's just our culture, being able to sit down and listen to music.
Well, look.
And do nothing else.
Exactly. Music, I think, has always been sort of a microcosm of what's happening in society and in culture. And today it's no different. There's an old friend of mine who was a record executive with Columbia Records, pretty high up, very well connected into the music scene. And I had a discussion with him, and I'm going to share some of his insights, too, as we go along. But I think he would definitely agree that, you know, the album concept is dead. But what he also said, and I agreed with, is that it's a really exciting time for music. It's harder to find. Granted, you can't turn on the radio anymore and find new music. It just doesn't happen. But there are so many great bands out there. It's really exciting. You just have to know where to look for it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
And I would challenge that by saying if they were so great, we would know them. Listen, I'm an old fart, tell you the truth. I want to get in the car, I want to turn on the radio, and I want to hear some music. I don't want to have to search for my music. I'm not a DJ. I got things going on. Can I just not turn? Maybe I just turn on the TV and hear some music too? And I think that has led to programs like Glee, which is somewhat controversial and has some nice music in it. I'm not a big fan, but there are some. They've produced album after album after album that has sold. And why is that? Because it's easier for people just to rehear old songs being played again new talent.
I'm going to drag you screaming and kicking and screaming into the new century.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's listen to a little something from Glee as we go.
Oh, please say to me you'll let me be your man. And please say to me, you'll let me hold your hand.
Everything old is new again, midnight on Saturday nights. Join us.
This is Paul McCartney, and you're listening to Everything Old is New Again.
This portion of the show is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're trying to seek to change your career, apply for a promotion, or trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that is seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. ResumeDoctorInc.com has over 15 years of experience in this field. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Email them at resumedoctorinc@aol.com. resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. Please feel free to send your comments to us at oldnewagain@aol.com. And if you happen to miss any portion of this or any other program, feel free to find us at our website of everythingoldisnewagain.biz. That was the Who asking the question, or presenting that rock is dead and long live rock. It's a dichotomy. The question today at this point, after all this discussion about the Beatles and their place in the industry today, where do we go from here? Is there music to listen to, or is the band dead? Is the concept of and the album dead? Where do we go? If you take a look at the list of best-selling music artists in the United States of all time, you look at the list of the top 20, and 19 of the top 20 are contemporary artists. But when I say that, I mean from the 60s to about the 90s. Led Zeppelin, Eagles, Pink Floyd, of course, the Beatles, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Bruce Springsteen, Metallica, Van Halen, U2. Where are the new bands? Where is all this talent coming from?
Well, in fairness, that's of all time, right? So a lot of those bands have, 30, 40 years leg up on current bands? So
right.
It's a little unfair, but your point is well taken. I think that you showed me another list before also with,
Yeah, I have a list of the live. This is very interesting from my perspective. The Rolling Stones number one, or their list of the top 25 live artists since 1990. And I'll just read you them briefly. This is from 1990 to 2014. Rolling Stones are number one. U2, Bruce Springsteen, Madonna, Bon Jovi, Elton John, Dave Matthews Band, Celine Dion, Kenny Chesney, The Eagles,
sad.
And The Police. Following that up is Roger Waters, Paul McCartney, and Billy Joel. So, and Rod Stewart.
Right.
Show me some new names. Where are they?
Well, I can say that, first of all, they're appealing, those older bands are appealing to an older crowd, a little more wealthy, actually a lot more wealthy. And when these bands come around on tour, it's a nostalgia thing. So, you know, the older generation, people with a little more money, are going to spend a little more money to see them. They're going to buy these VIP seats that go for a heck of a lot. Because to them, it's a one-time thing. Are we ever going to see Fleetwood Mac again, for example? So I'm going to break the bank, and I'm going to get the best seats possible. Now, and these bands know that, all right? Fleetwood Mac knows, the Rolling Stones. Now, every time they get together, it's a cash machine. They've had years to accumulate fans. These fans got older. They're wealthier. They can keep supporting them and coming them.
But if you were to look at, let's just say, a venue like Jones Beach, just something that is a relatively large venue for a summer concert, if you look at that summer concert series, a majority and a large majority of who's performing there in the larger venues, and we could also include Madison Square Garden, the Barclays Center, of course, in the discussion, all the larger venues are these bands that have been around, or performers, for a long time, and I guess you could look at it the other way, very few that have been created or come upon the scene since 2000 on.
No, that's,
why is that?
Because the newer bands, and there are many, many great bands out there right now. Again, and I'll get back to this point in a second, it's so splintered right now, the music industry, that no, there's no way a new band can fill Madison Square Garden right now. There's no way. And that's why they're not at Jones Beach either. Look, you know, you're giving me a chart. I'll give you a chart. Your question about whether rock is dead. If you look currently at the Nielsen Billboard 2013 music sales, all right, rock and alternative rock, if you combine them, accounted for over 50% of all album sales, all sales of units. So rock is not dead. It's alive. It's one of the biggest forms of music out there. It's harder to find.
But the only thing I would say then, I guess this is the lawyer that comes in to pull that apart, is to say, wait a minute, though, and I guess I didn't do the research on this, I should have, how many units are being sold of these rock albums compared to how many units were sold, let's say, in 1990 or 80 or 70 of rock albums? I would bet you that the units sold are less. There may be 60% of the top units being sold are labeled rock, but there's a much less albums being sold.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And these are units. These could be songs. These can be anything.
Well, that's why we're here, to start the arguments that you love to have at Long Island News Radio. But I think we agree at this point, when we talk about albums, we're kind of dating ourselves. The album, per se, is dead. The concept still exists. You still see, I think Mariah Carey has a new one out now, and they're promoting it by showing her body on the front of the album. That's it. They don't even show her face. So why are they doing that? They're trying anything just to promote an album that is very hard to sell these days.
It's a great time for the consumer. It's a bad time for the music business because there are so many ways for people to get music without having to pay for it, really, that it's killing the music business. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, you go back 20, 30 years ago, there were 1,000 great bands out there. But to my point, I think I made in the last show about the Beatles and Ed Sullivan and the 73 million people, there was no internet. This was before MTV even, right? How many ways could you hear them, right? I told you or you told me about a group. We went out, we bought the album. If we didn't hear it on WNEW, then I won't mention the rest of the name of that station. But it was a long time ago, long time ago. But now, the same 1,000 great bands that are out there, you can actually hear them because there's 1,000 ways for them to
Well, then I'll present you with the question because obviously I'm curmudgeon when it comes to this situation and I've explained where I come from. How do I find new music that I will like and enjoy without a heck of a lot of work on that internet? I got a lot of things to do.
Okay, I can help you with that, Doug.
Good. That's what I want to hear because I don't want to be like this. I want to hear new music.
You know? You're not a cranky old man at
No,
heart.
Where is it?
You're really
Just
not.
Show me where it is.
Okay.
I don't want to hear Glee anymore.
By the way, I never want to hear that clip again. I will kill you if you play that
again.
You
walk out of the studio after that clip.
Oh, my Woo! God. It was like a splash of cold water. well, listen, so here's what I think. If you're a casual listener, like you are, okay, you don't want to spend a lot of effort. There are ways to find out where new music is. So go to iTunes. Go to an app called Songza, S-O-N-G-Z-A. There's a free version of something called Spotify. They will give you a playlist. Not just one playlist, but a varied playlist by genre. If you're looking for what's new in alternative rock music today, click on it. For the next 2 hours, you'll hear all new stuff. If there's something you like, you know, you can actually pick that band and hear more by them and others like them. It's fun. It really is. I mean, if you're really, you know, serious about finding it, there's even better ways to go where you have to pay a little bit. Beats Music, the Spotify pay, it's called on-demand streaming. You can go in, if you like a band, a new band that you heard on Songza, you know, you pay a monthly fee or an annual fee, you go on to Beats Music, you can just listen to their whole album.
Well, what about having someone act as the, if old is new again, act as the old-time DJ through the internet, if you will, and I could tell them, listen, I like the Beatles, I like Rolling Stone, give me something similar, or the new, you know.
It's funny that it is actually trending that way. So there's something called a curator now in music. It's sort of like a DJ. They're music experts, years of experience in the field that are being followed by people. You will tune in, you'll go to Songza or you'll go to Spotify, you'll find this person because you know they're going to, if you like the Beatles, they've got all of these new groups that sound like the Beatles. You can follow them, listen to them. All the burden is off you now. You can sit back and get what you need. Doug.
That's what I'm looking for. And along the lines, I will take your advice and get back to you on that. Let's listen to some of the new music that Dave and I have found over the internet.
That's first pretty damn good.
Who are the bands you have?
What you're listening to now is a band called The Stripes.
Who's next?
Jake Bugg.
My pick is going to be Ed Sheeran. Next, listen to us.
There are places I remember all my life.
Those Everything old is new again. Listen to us every Saturday night at midnight. Come on back.
Some have gone.